Savvy regards to the staff of student teachers at NEMATA, as well as guests and visitors to the campus. This is once again the main professor recording this morning, the early hours of March 16th, 2020, with a special message on the topic of, you guessed it, the so-called coronavirus, COVID-19. I'm making a commitment to myself to present commentary, analysis, and some research which I consider to be solid and extremely valuable on this event in the coming days. And it may take some time to elaborate those points in whatever unit I release containing talk and text. But I've also made a commitment to myself to release my thoughts, my views, and my perspective as a modern-day Gnostic on what is happening here, right here, right now, and to do so as far as possible in a direct and cogent way, and first and foremost, to speak in a concise way, to go directly to the core of the event and speak in a concise and precise way. So those are my two commitments. And in this talk, which is totally spontaneous, I'm sitting here alone in the pre-dawn hours of the day, and in completion of the first Swandeva shift of this year. So somewhere over there to the east, to the northeast, over my shoulder outside, the waning moon in its last quarter is rising. The waning moon signifies the completion of a Dakini shift. So let me remind you that the Dakini connected with the constellation of the fishes, Swandeva or Swandevi, is called the story keeper. And I pointed out in 2008, when I initially spoke about the Shakti cluster and the frequencies of instruction streaming from the planetary animal mother, that of all of the devatas in the Shakti cluster, Swandeva is the only one who instructs in narrative. She not only releases her instructions in the form of narratives, but she instructs about narratives, about the structure, intention, and power of narratives. And that is a fitting theme for this moment, because coming to terms in sobriety and sanity with the coronavirus panic does require of those who can rise to the challenge, it does require that you have a really clear comprehension about narrative, because the main force that is driving this event is not a mysterious and horrific biological entity called a virus. It is the narrative about the virus, and I cannot repeat that point enough times. Also, to strike a note of clarity at the beginning of this little presentation, I want to remind you that the word archon is routinely and correctly translated as authority. So the archons, archontes in Greek, are the authorities. The Gnostics were the only teachers of the ancient world and the only teachers in any culture or civilization of the past who left to us an explicit warning about the authorities. So bear in mind that the Gnostics said that the archons always lie. If you translate that into plain common sense language, well, the authorities always lie. The authorities in the world that you live in. The authorities who play their roles in the world drama. They always lie. Bear that in mind. Of course, many of you know that already. I myself have known that for quite a while, needless to say. But you have at this moment the opportunity to register that truth in your mind and to apply it to what's happening in the world at an even more profound level. You have the opportunity to take the realization that the authorities lie, which in some respects is just a common sense observation, looking at current affairs in the world, looking at the media, politics, education, the banking system. It's all fraudulent. It's all based on lies, and you know that already. But brace yourself, because you're about to face a step into even deeper comprehension of that proposition. To put it in the language of a meme that's circulating on the internet, I just found this in the chat section of a vid on BitChute, and it says, "Stay calm. It's all staged bullshit." Now, I'm compelled to make this talk this evening, sitting here all by my lonesome. I don't know how long it's going to go, but I'll tell you why I just had to sit down and do this. You know, it's Monday today, and last Friday was Friday the 13th, and I would say it was about that time, a few days ago, that I began to get a certain feeling in my body. The old prairie dog was sniffing something in the wind. There is a stench rolling over this planet. And my prairie dog instincts detected that and also detected the wave of fear that mingles with that stench. And so I felt for a few days now, and this evening with alarming intensity, I felt in my body, in my cellular knowledge, in the marrow of my bones, something familiar. A kind of feeling of fear. There's a tremor in it. There's a tremble in it, for sure. And if you find yourself trembling, and you might think you're trembling from fear, but consider the possibility that you are trembling because you are being attacked by fear. And therefore, the reaction of trembling is not a surrender to fear, but it's a realization that something is attacking you. You and I are under an extremely massive assault of psychological warfare. The COVID virus panic is psychological warfare, and it is in operating in high, high gear. So as I was reflecting on how I feel, as I just said, my mind says to me, what's familiar? What is familiar about this? When did you feel this before? And of course, you know what I'm going to say next. The last time that I distinctly recall having this sensation was in September 2001. Now, in the course of the 9/11 event, things happened that I was not able to analyze at the time. Those who stage these events count on the trauma. It's trauma-based mind control. That's the technique. So when you are traumatized by something you're being shown, and when you are confused and stunned by something you're being told, you can't always access the adequate faculties of sobriety, probity, and common sense. So I have this familiar feeling. An event is happening. It's moving very, very fast. In fact, it's moving way too fast. Now my attention is drawn to the fact that these events are moving way too fast. And I remember back in 9/11, I had the same sensation. I had the same impression. Wait a minute. Hold on. Stop the cameras. This whole scenario is moving way too fast. Actions are being taken way too quickly. And these actions don't make sense somehow. Back then, I didn't have the presence of mind and the education to see precisely how they don't make sense. Now I can see, in many respects, how this event simply does not make sense. And so I advise you to hold on to your common sense, because this is a monumental shit test. It is a test. It is a staged event calculated to see how much you will take, to see how much those who are orchestrating this event can put over on you without resistance coming from you. And above and beyond all else, and I want this to be the takeaway of this talk, those who are orchestrating this event, this panic, want to see to what extent you comply. It's all about compliance. So as they are pulling off this scenario, you can bet that they are watching very closely to see how people comply with the narrative. And they are also developing their version of the narrative, which is a lie, to enforce the lie of compliance. Just look at the way the scenario is structured. An event happens, an outbreak of a virus in China. Following this event, the authorities take measures against the outbreak. As the event accelerates, as the scenario develops, the measures they take to manage the event in their narrative, which they broadcast to the world, become more and more rapid and more extreme. And as they feed out the meta-narrative, which is the story they tell about the first story, which is a story of contagion. The meta-narrative is the story they tell about how the world in general is responding. And in that meta-narrative, they are leading you to believe that people all around the world are in compliance with these extreme and rapid measures they are taking. And I'm here to alert you to the fact that that cannot be true. It cannot be true that people in countries around the world, here in Europe, in the great cities, in the small cities, in the towns and villages, likewise in the United States, Australia, wherever it may be, the claim they are propagating in their narrative that there is compliance with their demands and measures of precaution against the virus is a total lie and an extremely dangerous lie, and don't buy into it. In the first place, make an assertion to yourself and within yourself, and express that assertion to those around you whom you trust and love, that you do not comply. You do not and will not comply with the measures they tell you they are taking. So you can be sure that when you see BBC News, for instance, showing footage of the streets of Milan empty, showing shops closed, same thing with Spain, with Madrid and so forth, what they are showing you are clips that run for a few seconds only. The camera scans a line of shops and restaurants, and they're closed and the restaurants are empty. They're not giving you a full picture of what's happening. They are giving you snippets of footage, which are only a few seconds long, here and there. Okay, there's a vacant plaza in Venice, you know, St. Mark's Plaza is vacant. Well, maybe it is or maybe it isn't. But you are looking at this footage, and at the same time, the voiceover that goes with it tells you that this footage is evidence that people all around the world, by the millions, are complying with the precautionary measures being taken against this contagious virus, this phantasm, this chimera. And I assure you, that is not true. There is, in the first place, there is no way to know, except your being on the ground in specific situations with people. There is no way to know the extent of the compliance. But as they push their narrative on you, and their narrative is a tool of trauma-based mind control, they include in the narrative a routine assumption that they are getting the compliance that they are demanding. That is an extremely dangerous lie. That is a weaponized lie that has an extremely important role in how this narrative unfolds. For instance, just ask yourself this question. The head of a government, an authority, such as the head of the government of Italy, goes on the national television and declares to the people of Italy the measures to be taken. The government demands this. The government dictates closing of all shops. The government dictates no more than 50 people can gather in a public place or whatever. You've heard this, and there are many, many interdictions being stated as imperatives by the authorities. And these are extreme measures which are being implemented with dazzling rapidity. You get that? But hold on a second. How can they enforce that which they are demanding of the public? How can they actually enforce it across the scale of activities in each city, each quarter of the city, the suburbs, the smaller towns, the middle-sized cities, all the villages? How can they possibly enforce the dictates that they are stating as precautionary measures against the spread of coronavirus? They can't. It's impossible. Just take the example of any city like Milan, which was one of the first cities in Italy to be locked down, shut down. So you are told. And then you go on the internet, and what do you see? You see maybe a total of 25 seconds of footage proving that Milan has been totally locked down, the entire city. So they show you these images, and they give you a voiceover telling you what you're seeing. Just like in 9/11, they showed you the images of what appeared to be airplanes, ordinary jet passenger planes, which are nothing but aluminum cocoons, flying into buildings and cutting through steel-enforced concrete buildings. They showed you that, and they told you a narrative, and it was all a lie. So, they're doing the same thing now. They're doing exactly the same thing now, except they're using the pretext of a biological virus. They're claiming that there is a unique, unparalleled, extremely lethal, extremely contagious biological virus spreading like wildfire across the planet. This is a total lie. Getting back to the setting in Milan here, so I don't lose my train of thought. Think of all the cafes in Milan. Think of all the squares, the large and small plazas, the piazzas, where people gather. Suppose that people were not complying. Suppose that they did not comply, and they kept their restaurants open, and they kept their stores open, and they congregated in these places. How could the authorities possibly force them to do otherwise? They couldn't. And this is the essential truth, one of the essential truths that some people now have the opportunity to learn. The authorities are imposing interdictions, restrictions, and other rules of social behavior, dictates that they cannot possibly enforce. And so if they can't enforce them, except by simply using the instrument of fear, if they can't physically enforce them, which is impossible, everywhere, in every single place, then how do they intend to enforce them? Well, they enforce them by the trauma-based mind control, fear-driven narrative, and they count on having compliance. The only way that Milan, city of millions, or a small town of 2,000 people, like the village where I lived in Andalusia, Gaucin, the only way that those locations can be shut down is by the compliance of the inhabitants. They cannot be shut down by force deployed by the authorities. Yes, the authorities can choose certain areas. They can choose certain situations, like a shopping mall or a church, and they can bring in military force and police force and enforce their dictates, which they claim falsely to be precautionary measures against the virus. They can do that in a few places here and there, and they can then film that and release it in the mainstream media to give the false impression that is how it is everywhere. But obviously, common sense tells you it could not possibly be that way everywhere. It cannot possibly be that way. So something is wrong with this picture, just like something was wrong with the picture of 9/11 and the picture of Sandy Hook. Remember, the technique is always the same. There's film footage, and then there's a voiceover, as it's called in screenwriting. The narration that tells you what you're seeing, and it lies to you when it tells you what you're seeing. I'm reminded of a picture which all of you hearing me now have probably seen. Countless billions of people have seen this picture. It's a photograph of a man driving a bulldozer and bulldozing a heap of dead bodies, look very gray and withered and starving, undernourished. And that's the picture. A man in a bulldozer pushing a heap of dead bodies, presumably into a ditch. You don't see that, but that's what you can assume, so that they can be covered with lime and buried or whatever. And that one picture contains a caption. So you have still photos with a caption, and you have moving footage with a narration. That one picture stands in the minds of many, many people as evidence of the official version of the Holocaust. That one picture. But in fact, if you know where that one picture was taken and what that one picture shows, namely, people who died in the camps from starvation and typhus because the Allied forces bombed the supply lines to the camps, and the German authorities who were running those camps could no longer feed the people and could no longer curtail the spread of typhus. So in the last 2 months of the war, many people in the camps died in that way. Such are the people in that photograph. But that's not the caption that goes out with the photograph, is it? Okay, I've made my point. I know that I may seem to be belaboring the obvious here, but I think it's appropriate to remind you of how this has been done, how propaganda works. The photograph of a young boy lying on a beach in Turkey who has drowned, the photograph, which itself is a lie, and the body was posed, and then the caption of that photograph, which is a lie. And you can think of many, many examples of that over the past how many years since 9/11. So they've had a lot of practice. And on this occasion, with the coronavirus panic, they are going to the ultimate of their cinematic skills in pushing a false narrative. So do not buy the narrative, and do not assume that there is massive and universal compliance with the demands of the authorities. Certainly, unfortunately, I have to say, there probably is a lot of compliance due to the programming of the population, of the masses, and due to their fear and their confusion and their lack of education. You know, knowledge about the revelation of the method and the techniques of trauma-based mind control is still, to this day, relatively esoteric. You may know about it, and you may be really well-informed. You may really have studied it in depth. But those who do know about this tactic belong, in a way, to an elite, to an esoteric few. And those who do not, of course, will have the tendency to comply based on the programming that they have received, unless common sense intervenes. This is a situation that requires that you gamble your life on common sense. And common sense tells me that the meta-narrative describing how the world is responding to the extreme and rapid precautionary measures to prevent the spread of the virus is a lie. There cannot be complete compliance, as they would have you believe. Okay, sure, let's say that's clear enough. But the trick question here is, well, where is the non-compliance? Well, I can guarantee you one thing. It's very unlikely that you will see evidence on non-compliance to these measures in the mainstream media. What form will the non-compliance take? Where will the non-compliance erupt? I have a confident feeling that the non-compliance will, at a certain point, burst forth. And I have a feeling of where it will burst forth first. Probably France and certain places in the United States, or perhaps in France and Italy simultaneously. When the inhabitants of those countries are pushed to the wall and they see the entire pattern of their lives and their livelihoods crushed by precautionary measures against a virus, they may well wonder, hey, how come the cure is worse than the disease? And they may revolt. And so 2020 may well be the year when the non-compliance of free agents all over the world to the dictates of the authorities finally erupts in a way that cannot be hidden. And my guess is the events are moving in that direction very, very rapidly. Now, they have a technique that they're using, which is part of the way they develop their narrative. They're staging, it's a staged event, and they're staggering how it works. They're probably taking that, I had a hunch that they might be taking that technique from the history of the 1917 Spanish flu in Europe and in the United States, killed 650,000 people in the United States and millions in Europe. And if you go back and you study that flu, you'll find that it occurred in waves. So there was a first wave in the spring, like January and February and March. Then it faded out. It came back in a second wave and then faded out again. And finally, it came back in a third wave. So I'm suspecting that right now we're looking at the first wave. And the measure of the first wave can be seen in the measure of the extreme cautionary measures, cautionary actions taken against the fictional virus, because the virus is a fiction. First of all, there is no such thing as a virus in nature. There is only one true virus. There is only one true biological event on this planet that can be described accurately, correctly, as a virus, and that is the archontic infection. The Gnostics warned us about that. The archontic infection, the nefarious machinations of the archons and their racial vector and their proxies and accessories, are something that every sane person today must study and understand. But the initial warning about those evil powers came from the Gnostics. Additionally, just reached the half hour mark here and I don't want to go too much further. Additionally, I want to emphasize that your intention is extremely important in facing this event. hold your intention to noncompliance. Hold your attention to, how do I say this? Stay vigilantly determined on the intention to see this fraud for what it is, to see this hoax for what it is, and reinforce that determination. And in doing so, refer time and time again back to common sense. This entire event doesn't make sense. Just like the 9/11 event and the measures that were taken following that event by the authorities didn't make sense. So I'm going to conclude by giving you an example of how it doesn't make sense. I'm sure that your minds are already racing, probably, and you are already coming up with things about this that just absolutely don't make sense to you and haven't made sense from the first moment that they declared that it was a global pandemic. So I'll use two illustrations. In the first illustration, I'll just use statistics. Now, I don't have a big page full of statistics here because it's not necessary. You can go look on the internet. I just went and looked for the statistics for the fatalities of influenza. And there are many, many strains of influenza, so it's the spring flu, in the United States in 2019. And right at the top of the feed, it came up an article from a governmental agency, right? The authorities, ironically enough, published on February 17th, 2019, and it said 19,000 people. So the statistics for fatalities in February of 2019 for the flu season was 19,000 people. Now, nowhere in any country, not even China itself, in any particular area, Wuhan or in the north central part of Italy, have the figures come anywhere near close to that. Nevertheless, the authorities have declared a global pandemic. So the global pandemic, if you look at it with common sense, either is a complete lie or else they must be calling it a global pandemic based on something else, because it can't be based on the statistics, can it? Now here's a second illustration. This is a shit test, test for common sense. It's the final illustration that I'll use. There is a site on the internet, there are probably many, but there is one site which typically gives you a graphic readout following the outbreak and spread of the virus, hour by hour. So you have here a graphic of the United States of America divided up into the various states. And in each of the states, there is a red dot. And the dots get bigger as more and more people are infected, whatever that means. How do they determine who is infected? How do they determine the cases, the confirmed cases? So let's say that the dots represent a graphic illustration of the statistics of the confirmed cases, put that in quotes. So what do you see? Well, if you look at it right now, as I just did, you see that some of the dots in some of the states are bigger than others. This is meant to, they're red dots. So the suggestion is it's like smallpox or something breaking out, like red spots on your skin, right? It's calculated that way. The graphics are suggestive of what they're showing. So you see some states with tiny little pinpoint dots and some states with medium-sized dots and larger dots. And that gives you an immediate graphic readout of the confirmed cases in each state. And then as you sit there and you just watch it in real time, you watch those dots grow. And of course, you know where it's going, don't you? Before too long, they will show you the graphics where there are dots everywhere over all of the states, and finally, the whole graphic image of the United States is covered in red because the contagion has spread to every single person in the United States. That's where they will take it. That's where the footage and the graphic manipulation will go to enforce the hoax of this contagious infection. Well, let's just take one state. You can go to each state and you can look at the specifics, statistics for that state. So as of this moment, when I speak now, March 15th, 2020, go to the state of Idaho. Capital is Boise, Idaho. It's not a really big, big city. And most of Idaho is farmland and potato growing land and countryside and national monuments, right? There are, like as of now, 4 confirmed cases in Idaho, right? But you are led to believe that on the basis of 4 confirmed cases, that the governor of the state has come out and announced the dictates of the authorities, the extreme and rapid measures they will take to prevent the spread. It's all about preventing the spread. But at the same time that they tell you that they are taking these enormous measures to prevent the spread, they are also telling you subliminally that the character of this particular virus, this viral infection, is so voracious and so rapacious that it will overwhelm no matter what precautionary measures are taken. So they give you the double message, which is a tool of cognitive dissonance, which is the hallmark of psychological warfare. Yes, we are taking extreme measures. We are canceling all the big festivities in the state, the farmers' conventions, the sports events, even high school sports events. We are taking these extreme measures. So we're doing that to make you safe. We, the authorities, the state, are going to make you safe. But at the same time, you know, from the other part of the narrative that is unfolding, that there is something of an unprecedented nature about this virus, and that it is so contagious that even the extreme measures we're taking are not going to ultimately prevent it from contaminating everyone in the world. And where do you go from there? Well, after they've done the first stage, seeing how far they can push people and drawing back, pausing, then they'll drive to the next stage, pushing more dictates and restrictions upon the public, and then they'll wait, drop back, and watch how that plays, and then they'll push the third phase. And you can bet your booty that by the time they get to the third phase, they're going to say that coronavirus testing is mandatory and everyone must be tested. And they're going to say that the authorities rule that if you go out in public and you're not wearing a mask, that you will be considered a person who threatens, by your very presence, you threaten public health. You see, people wear masks for 2 purposes. One, to prevent them, presumably, from contracting the disease. But on the other hand, they also wear masks to prevent them wearing a mask, they say, prevents you from giving the disease to others. So in their logistics, it's clear that just as happened after 9/11, everyone is a suspected terrorist. Well, just as happens after Wuhan, the Wuhan breakout, any citizen in any country who is not wearing a mask is potentially a threat to public safety. And if you do not comply with wearing a mask, then you are subject to being taken down by the authorities. And there will be instances of that happening. And at the same time that they're going to enforce that, they're telling you, and they're already telling you, well, too bad, folks, because there aren't enough masks. So it's inevitable that some people, if they go out in public, which they will be forbidden to do, but if they go out in public and they're seen not wearing a mask, the authorities will come for them. So you comply by not going out in public or by wearing a mask if you do go out in public, and additionally, you comply to being tested for the virus. Or you don't comply. They are setting up the narrative and enforcing the narrative in such a way that it enforces the illusion that everyone will comply and that they can enforce compliance. And it's true that they can. For instance, if the President of the United States says, we're going to suspend air travel between the United States and Europe, with the exception of Britain, I believe, for 30 days, they can enforce that. The authorities have the power to do things like that. They have the power to do large-scale tactical operations to back up their game, to back up their lying narrative. But no way in the world do they have the ability to force compliance on the local scale in every single place around the world. They don't. And also, bear in mind, who would they use? Who would they use to force compliance? They're going to send out teams of SWAT teams. They're going to send out teams of the military, the National Guard. Or are they going to, recruit the police in their services? So you're going to see the police wearing hazmat outfits and National Guard and military deployed on the streets, and that will be the muscle to enforce their dictates. But they can't possibly do it except in an extremely limited way because there are not enough people. And additionally, those human animals that they would enlist in the military and the law enforcement agencies to do this work for them also have an interest in not doing it. Their lives are invested in not doing it, so they're caught in a contradiction. Maybe their livelihood or their job depends on doing what the government says, but some of them will have common sense to see that if they do what the government says and they enforce these absurd and extreme measures, that it will destroy the whole way of life to which they belong. It will destroy business. It will destroy social communication and social congregation. And certainly some of them will not go along with that. So the chances of the authorities using military and police force in that way are extremely fragile. And they simply do not have the resources and will never have adequate resources in numbers to cover the whole field of activities and the whole range of social life upon which they are seeking to enforce this narrative. So finally, just returning to Idaho for a moment, I mean, do you imagine that the total population of Idaho in the capital city and all the other smaller cities and towns and villages in that state are automatically and instantly going to comply with the measures imposed due to 4 cases in that state? It's impossible. What they're doing is impossible. Just as it was impossible for passenger jets to cut through steel and concrete and steel reinforced skyscrapers. but they made it appear as if it were so. And they're doing the same thing now, but they're playing the game with other tools and other tactics. And finally, and this is my takeaway, they're using the phantom menace of this terrible, unprecedented virus. Now, bear in mind what I have said already, and I will continue to repeat and clarify, and I will offer you the technical, medical, and biological evidence for this assertion. The narrative about the coronavirus is the virus. It is the principal vector and vehicle of the virus. But wait, John, are you saying that there is no biological entity involved here? Yes, there is a biological entity, which I can explain. I've already talked about it somewhere. But the biological entity is simply a label. You see, you can take a microbe and go into a lab. You can take a microbial structure consisting of molecules and protein. It's called an agglutinate. And you can go into a lab and you can manipulate it. And I have found information, thanks to some references sent to me by a staff member, I found information which actually describes the contrived mechanism of the COVID-19 virus. There is a weaponized biological unit, but it is not a viral entity. It is simply a label they use to falsely identify a biological virus that doesn't exist so that they can tell you that you test positive. So in concluding, it always helps to illustrate the necessity for common sense with a good analogy, a simple analogy. You know, SWAT team breaks into a house suspected of being the residence of a cocaine dealer. You've seen this many times in the movies. And of course, they find those packets. They find those plastic bags of cocaine. Right, evidence, proof, dealer, we found it. Now suppose that a SWAT team breaks into a house and what they find are clear plastic bags, such as cocaine is packed in, with labels on them saying cocaine. But the plastic bags are empty. So then they say, that's it, we've got you. You're a cocaine dealer, and the evidence is these plastic bags with a label cocaine on them, even though they're empty and they've never had any cocaine on them. The plastic bags are like the label of the COVID-19 virus. It is a label that has been created in a laboratory, but it is not a weaponized virus as such. The COVID-19 is not a bioweapon. It is simply a label that they planted, and I'll explain how they did this and how they spread it, so that that label is likely to be present in many, many millions and billions of people around the world today. They created this label in a lab. They spread the label through the population, and now when they test you, they find the label, like the plastic bag with no cocaine in it, and they say you have coronavirus. This is how it works. So there is a biological entity involved, and it's extremely important to know what that is and to have some educated sense of what they have constructed in order to orchestrate this tremendous hoax. That's the best that I can do right now. I don't want to go a minute longer. I'll leave you with those thoughts, and we'll be back to you soon on Nemeta with more reports and commentaries on this PSYOP of 2020.